مضل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، so this is our second meeting for the subject محبة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم or loving the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we have here, let me check first the attendance. We have from here Saq ibn Nasim. We have, Muhammad. As I said, this is the second of our meetings in this subject. Last time we covered the subject of what happened. Is this timed? All of a sudden it went down. Last time we dealt with the definition of prophethood and some discussion about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I see for those who were present, if they can remember some of what we discussed. What is the difference between a messenger and a prophet? Do you remember? You were not present, were you?
Yeah.
But you still know the answer? Okay, go ahead.
Messenger is a person who has the message from Allah, and a prophet is one who followed the message of a prophet. For example, every prophet is a messenger, but every messenger is a prophet.
Okay. Approximately, that's what he said. Do you remember Dawood?
The messenger said is brings a message from Allah. The prophet does not bring anything new. That's what he said. They don't bring any. They basically revive what was already said.
The prophets, yeah, exactly. We said that this is one of different of many or several opinions about this, and this is Allahu A'lam the most correct. But the scholars do not have a unique, opinion in this regard. They differ a lot about what is the difference, and you find in any of their answers as to the difference, there is some weakness that you can argue about. But this seems to be the most acceptable, Allahu A'lam, or the least objectionable. Okay, we said that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the last messenger, is in general is different from the human beings. Right? Can you tell me how, what that means?
How prophet is different from all human beings? That's the question.
Yeah.
He being the last prophet, he was chosen by Allah for his unique guidance, and due to that, he has a certain nearness to Allah, and that's why he's unique compared to other men.
Nearness. You mean he's close to Allah in position and status, or
did you say in the prophet or prophets?
Prophets in general.
Prophets?
That they are different from the human beings.
Right, they are the chosen ones to give out the message from Allah.
Okay.
If from his childhood, the Jibreel al-Islam came and opened his heart and cleaned.
No, not just Prophet Muhammad, you're talking about all the prophets.
Yeah, in general, all the prophets.
They are the ones that Allah guided their deeds and the things to do there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he was
their manners and their manners and deeds are not deeds. They're better.
Of high caliber?
Yeah, yeah.
That is standard for other humanity to follow.
Allah?
Mm-hmm.
Are the prophets different from the human beings?
No.
They are human beings.
Of course,
Okay. Okay, that was a trick question. They cannot be different from the human beings because they are human beings. But they are better than some human beings, than most human beings. But that doesn't make them non-human, they are human.
It's funny because I thought he told them something last time. Otherwise, they're very different than a human.
Okay. Okay, the prophethood is a selection from Allah Azza wa Jal, or a favor that Allah favors with a chosen number of people from His creation. We mentioned this before. Now, how did that appear in terms of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How was he a chosen? How did it appear that he's a chosen human being from other human beings and with his message? How did Allah favor him? In what respects? Okay, but how did that happen? Yeah.
By Allah sending down the book to him, the Quran.
Okay, that's true, but I mean that's the end of it. But the process that shows that Allah has chosen him, has preferred him over other people.
No, Jahali, he was not involved in the idol worshipping or any of the things that his people did while he was young.
Right.
And plus the cleansing of the heart is the real good
Right. That's one aspect that you mentioned.
And Allah used to say that since his childhood, Allah used to save him from every sin. I mean,
yeah, that's exactly what he said. Exactly. Yeah. What else? In his
character,
in his lineage, we said lineage.
He's of the highest lineage.
Yeah. Yeah. Allah selected him. Huh?
He was from pure parents.
What?
In the birthmark.
No, he didn't mention anything about birthmark.
It's just his lineage. His lineage was a
few.
He followed his lineage.
Yeah. Allah in descendants, nasab. Allah protected him also from harms, not only from the sins, but also from harms that, you know, people tried to subject him to in order to stop him from spreading his message. Allah perfected his character, his manners. And, well, actually, the end of it, which was one mentioned by you, that he made him the final messenger. He made him the final of the messengers. Okay, so now that we have a background about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the messenger in general and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular, now we have to deal with love. And before, because we are talking, the title of our discussion is the love of the messenger, Mahabbat Rasul, the love of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we try to define the messenger, and now we define the love, and then we see how they are related. How can we love the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So we'll be talking mostly about love today, inshallah. And then once we cover this subject, then we'll get into the love to be directed to the messenger specifically, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So love is a word in Arabic. It says hub or mahabba, hub or mahabba. It is a word that is very common among people, as you know, and it indicates that some hearts are, you know, linked with things or are attracted to things that they like or they prefer, and so on. And in the language, يطلق في اللغة على صفاء المودة. مودة is some kind of also love, some form of love. When it is pure, it is called حب or محبة. So محبة is a higher form of مودة. Like, you know, in English, probably you can say liking, like مودة, and love is like محبة or حب.
degree of shaitan?
So stronger and more pure. Liking means inclination. Like inclination, you are inclined towards someone or something. And when this becomes a pure kind of feeling, then it is called love or mahabba. In Lisan Arab, he defines love as being the opposite of bughd or hatred. And hub al-widad wal-mahabba, love and liking, hub. And tahabbaba ilayhi tawaddada, to make himself love to him, or to show love to a person, is like tawaddada, also be nice and kind to him to make him like you. And you say a woman is muhibbatun izawjiha, loving towards her husband, and so on. Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu used to be called hibbu rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hib means mahbub, means beloved. Hib and mahbub mean the same, means beloved. And hub means love, okay? So you see, just the haraka or the tashkil changes the meaning. From dhamma means hub means love, to kasra, hib, even though it's the same writing, same spelling, hib means the beloved one. Okay? Yatahabun means they love each other. Yatahabun yahbu ba'duhum ba'du. At-tahabbub izhar al-hub. Tahabbub in Arabic means to express love to a person. Okay, to show your love towards him. Now, as for the discussion or the meaning of love according to the scholars, probably among the scholars who dealt most with love is Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. In his book, he has a book specially about love, and he talks in detail about definition and the meanings of love, and that in Arabic he brings about 10 or 12 different words that mean love, and he tells how each one of them is different in meaning from the other, from the third, from the fourth. Like for instance, in English you can say, as I said, liking, love, devotion,
infatuation,
whatever. I mean, there are so many words. So in Arabic there are words which indicate love with desire, like ashq, like somebody desires someone. This is some kind of love, but it is mixed with desire, and so on. So gharam, etc., etc., mughram, wala, mula, etc. So he brings all these words and shows what is the difference between them. But as he says here, that the scholars have defined the love in different ways, and here there is a scholar called Al-Raghib al-Asfahani who has written a book called المفردات في غريب القرآن, which means the selections in regard to the strange or unusual meanings in the Quran. Okay, so he explains, he gives a more in-depth explanation to love than does Ibn al-Manzur in Lisan al-Arab. Lisan al-Arab is usually the most common reference for the Arabic language, but in his book he gives a more in-depth meaning of some words. So he says, for example, that I loved someone means that, or someone loves someone else means that he hits the like the core of his heart. From habba tu qalbi means the core of his heart. So someone loves someone else means that he that someone else has hit the core of his heart. That is where it comes from. نحو شغفته, and then he brings some other words which mean the same. شغفته وكبدته وفأدته. See, three words that mean love in Arabic. Arabic is more rich in this than English, that sometimes you take nouns and you immediately derive verbs from them. So شغفة from شغاف القلب, the I don't know shighaf, like the channels of the heart. And kabattahu from kabid, but kabid in Arabic, even though it's usually is used to mean the liver, but it also could apply to the heart, in that they are all both in the inside of the body. And fa'attahu from fu'ad, fu'ad means also heart. So when you say shaghafa wa kabada wa fa'ada, they all mean he loved someone because it affected his heart. So, and the same hub comes from something related to the heart. وَأَحْبَبْتُ فُلَانًا جَعَلْتُ قَلْبِي مَرَضًا. I loved someone means that I made my heart exposed to his love. Okay, now according to the scholars, الْمَحَبَّةُ إِرَادَةُ مَا تَرَاهُ خَيْرًا أَوْ تَظُنُّهُ خَيْرًا, which means he says mahabba or love is the will or seeking what you think or expect it to be good, to will or wish for what you expect it to be good or think it to be good. And it is three types. The first, mahabbatun lilladha. The first is love for the sake of desire, for the sake of desire. Like the love of a man to a woman, or for a woman. Or the love of people for food. Like he says, yutaimuna ta'ama ala hubbihi. They give the food, they feed the food even though they love it. As Allah says in the Quran, even though they love it. So this is the love that arises from desire. And the second, mahabbatun linnafa, a love for the sake of benefit. Like you love something that you like, that you benefit from. As Allah says, وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ. And another thing that you would love, and that is a conquering that Allah would grant you, and a victory that Allah would grant you, and a close conquering of Mecca, that is. So this is love of something that would be of benefit for you. Like you have something, you have a car that is very, you know, useful, very nice, and runs nice, and it is doesn't give you any trouble, and so on. You can become attached to it. You love it, okay? So this is loving something that would benefit, that benefits you. And the third, mahabbatun lil fadl, to love something or someone for the sake of virtue, in that thing, that is. So it is that either that thing that you love gives you desire or fulfills a desire in you, or gives you benefits, or you see a virtue in that thing, and that's why you love it. And that third part is like when the scholars love each other, okay, or the people of knowledge, or the Muslims, or loving the messengers, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as you see in this case, all of these come under what he defined as love is to seek what you expect it to be good in something. And this goodness could be to you, I mean. Could be a form of desire, could be a form of benefit, could be a form of admiration. That's what I wanted. A form of admiration. So that's the good that you see in the other thing. Al-Qadi Ayyad, he is another great scholar, and he's scholar of hadith, and he has a book called Al-Shifa Bita'arifi Hukuk Al-Mustafa, which means the cure in regard to explanation of the rights of this of the chosen one, who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he has a sharh of Sahih Muslim and others. So Al-Qadi Ayyad defined love to be مَيْلُ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَى مَا يُوَافِقُهُ, a person's or a human being's tendency or inclination towards something that agrees with him, that agrees with him or appeals to him, okay? So your inclination to something that appeals to you, that is love, which is, you know, even though it's a short definition, but it is very strong, very powerful, because you know, say somebody who is a disbeliever, he would never love a believer. I mean, he would not love a believer the more that the believer is is good and virtuous, the more that he would love it. They do not have this kind of thinking, because he does not, his belief and practice does not appeal to him, he does not understand it and appreciate it. But if it is something, he may love someone who agrees with him, he goes with him for to the nightclub, or to the to drink with him wine, or to commit sin with him, share him with the sin, or to be that works with him in the same office, or he may hate him for that matter. But anyways, I mean, it's the love would be based on some other criteria. So he defines it as a person's inclination to that which appeals to him or which agrees with him. And then he explains, he gives detail now, that this agreement could be because he it fulfills a desire for him, like, you know, the appealing forms and pictures, or the appealing foods, drinks, and things like that. That's all that, like the first kind that the other scholars mentioned, or the other that he would appreciate through his mind and heart some good things in that thing that he loves, like the righteous people, like loving each other, and this is like the third kind in the other case. And or the third type is that his love would be because that thing that he loves is benevolent to him and gives him benefit, and the souls have been made, created so that they would love though that which is good to it, or that who is good to it. So if somebody is good to you, you would love him, and that's something natural in the people. If somebody is generous to you, you would love him. And this is like the second part in the other definition of the other scholar, which is that something that benefits you. Okay? So there is no difference actually between the two definitions, except that this definition probably is more subtle and you know, encompassing. And he says here that from, you know, this is from the booklet of Al-Awudiyya by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, that I referred to I think last time, is that the origin of love is, or in the at its origin, love is a force or power in the heart that moves the will of the human being to attain those things that he loves, or to ward off things that he hates, so that the soul would be inclined to the thing that it loves and would be repelled from the thing that it hates. Which means it's, you know, like an attraction. Love is like a form of attraction, even though it's not like when you have two magnets and they attract each other, or if they are opposite, or they are similar in that case, they would repel each other. It's not like that form of it's not like that material kind of attraction and repulsion, but it has something in common with it. And this kind of attraction can be fitri or kasbi, which means it could be it could arise from fitra, from the nature of the people, the way they are created naturally, or it could be something that they attained and they learned by practice. And that's why you find that people differ a lot in their love to things and to persons. Of course, I mean, there's a great difference. You find a person loved by someone, hated by someone, right? And why is that? Because of two things, as we said, fitri and kasbi. Fitra and kasb. Like, for instance, you know, by fitra, by nature, people would love certain foods, for example. Okay, so whether they are from whatever part of the world they are, maybe they would love milk according to fitra, unless, of course, their fitrah has been changed by different reasons, for different reasons, including, you know, sickness, including some other influences that affected the fitrah. But the fitrah, the pure fitrah in origin, would mean that the people would love milk, would love meat, for example, would love vegetables, would love food in general, would love beautiful forms. This is fitrah. This is something by fitrah, by the nature and creation of people. But as for kasb, and also they would love the virtuous. They would love the virtuous. They would love virtue. They would hate sin. And then there is a kasb. Kasb, something that it is attained by upbringing. As Rasulullah ﷺ said, that every human being is created according to fitrah, and then his parents change him into a Christian or a Jew or a Magian and so on, or a Mushrik. So that is the kasb. That is how they attained, they learned, they were brought up so that their fitrah was changed. Or the upbringing would be sometimes in a way that it will reinforce the fitrah and it will improve it and you know, make it more shiny and better.
So what was the exact meaning of kasb?
Kasb means earning. It is earned, something that it is earned or acquired, exactly. So hub or love is then the fruit of understanding and knowledge, and the more that the understanding or the knowledge is complete, that the love is stronger, and vice versa. So when the means of realization for a person are pure, are good, you know, the means of realizing what's around you, what takes place around you, how the world looks like. If your eyes are good, so that you can see the right colors of things and the right forms and shapes of things. If these means are good and pure in a person, function properly, then the human being would love what benefits him and what is good for him. Otherwise, he would love the harmful thing, thinking that it is good for him, and the evil thing, thinking that it is good. And we know examples of this, like people who, for example, many people, they love sins because they think it is good for them. They love drinking, for example, because they think it is of benefit for them, and so on. They love evils, many evils, thinking that they are good. And sometimes they look into these evils, they, you know, admire them and look at them from all sides, and they say, I can't believe how some people cannot appreciate this. This is when, you know, the fitrah becomes so declined and deviated.
Distorted,
right. So with this understanding of love, according to the scholars, first we defined it from the language, then we defined it from the understanding of the scholars, and we mostly looked at the understanding of Raghib al-Isfahani and Qadi Iyad, and also a little bit to what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said. Now, love from the text of Shara. Love as it appeared in the text of Shara. So, in the text of Shara, the word love came in all its forms that we talked about. The three forms that we talked about has appeared in Shara. In terms of the natural kinds of love, like love of fathers to children, or children to father, or husbands to wives, or wives to husbands, or wealth, love of other desires, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ والخير المصومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب. Which means it has been adorned for people, what? The love of desires of women and children, and piled amounts of gold and silver and good kinds of horses and animals and plantation. And all of this is the possession of the worldly life. But Allah has the best of ends, that is the ends that Allah has in store for people, is the best thing that they can attain. So all of these have been decorated and adorned in the eyes of people and in the hearts of people, so that they love them. حُبُّ الشَّهَوَى, the love of the desires. And Allah says, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا, and you love the wealth or money, a great love. And He says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ, and indeed, He is a great lover for the khayr. Here means the possessions of this world. It doesn't mean goodness. And He says, كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَ, no. Recorded by Al-Bukhari from Abu Huraira, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يزال قلب الكبير شابا فتنتين في حب الدنيا وطول الأمل. And in another report he said, from Anas bin Malik, he said, يكبر ابن آدم ويكبر معه اثنان حب المال وطول العمر, or طول الأمل, which means the first hadith says the heart of the human being or the heart of the old man continues to be young in regard of two things, in regard of loving the dunya and having long hope, long expectation about how long he's going to live. And in another report by Anas that the human being ages, lives long, and the longer that he lives, two things grow up with him: the love of money and the love of long life. Okay, so this is loving things of this world, of course,
material
world, right? Well, this is the fitri mahabba. This mahabba is fitriya. It's natural. It's Allah, something that Allah has put in the hearts of people, as you heard, that this is something that has been adorned in the heart of people. And Allah describes the people as being great lovers of wealth. And as for mahabba shar'iyya, this is the natural. And now as for the shar'i, the natural love, as is mentioned in the shar'i text, which means in the Quran and Sunnah. And as for the shar'i love, which means the love that is acceptable and called for in the shara', it is the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the other believers, as we will mention next, or we discuss next. For loving Allah azza wa jal, and there will be some detail of these later, especially in regard to loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for loving Allah, Allah azza wa jal says, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. The beginning of this ayah is saying, if your wealth, your children, your trade, etc., وَمَنْ اَقْتَرَفْنَا تِجَارَةٍ تَخْشَوْنَا كَسَادَهُ وَمَنْ سَيْكُمْ تَغْضَوْنَا, your dwellings, and so on. If all of this is more dear to you, more beloved to you, than Allah and His Messenger, no, that's a different ayah. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا لَّائِمًا. No, yeah, this ayah is talking about that Allah Azza wa Jalla is warning the believers. He's saying, if you do not support the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then know that Allah would bring about people whom He loves and they love Him. Who are humble with the believers and tough against the disbelievers. So here, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, which means Allah would bring about people whom He loves and they love Him. So this is loving Allah Azza wa Jal, which is one of the requirements of the people who will attain victory and support from Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, this is talking about mutual love. Allah loves them and they love Him. Now here, this ayah, the next ayah, talks about Allah loving some people. And remember that when we talked about the love, the definition of love that we discussed, it was the definition of love from the side of the human beings. We are not talking about the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, because Allah is unlike the human beings, any of His characters, including love. So we cannot say that Allah loves something if it brings Him benefit. Okay, Allah loves something if that thing is virtuous, or if it fulfills what Allah commanded that thing to do, or that one to do.
Obedient.
And
just close the
taqwa. And even then, that love is not like the love of people. It's not like something in the heart which goes through the, you know, the veins of the heart or the channels of the heart and so on. It's something different that we know its outcome or its fruits. And inshallah, we will have a chance to discuss some of them at other occasions. So here the ayah says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin." Indeed, Allah loves those who repent to Him and who purify themselves. And another ayah, "Inna Allah yuhibbu alladhina yuqatiluna fi sabili saffan ka'annahum bunyanun marsus." Allah loves those who fight in His way, one line, like they are a packed building or a fortified building.
Ayat, the form of love Allah is describing is form of shiddah, right? I mean, the degree of love.
The degree of love is what?
The love that Allah is describing for these people, the people of taqwa, is like more shiddah in it, more power in it, or just a simple liking, and according to the definitions we were going through.
The love of people for Allah? We said Allah's love is different from the definitions we talked about. So,
fall under any of the definitions we have?
No, it's different.
So, is the love of Allah to have a stage, like Allah love you small and love you big, to have a stage?
Yeah, it does. And this is mentioned in this hadith that you have heard probably many times, in which the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah Azza wa Jal says, whoever has or shows hostility to a friend of mine, then I declare war against him. And my abd, my servant, cannot come close to me with anything more dear to me, more beloved to me, than that which I have made incumbent on him. And my abd continues to come closer to me with voluntary deeds until I love him. And so on. So it means that the love comes in stages. And we discussed this also to some degree in our discussion of Tuhfa al-Iraqiyya, and we'll continue with that inshallah on Sunday, that we said that even Zalimi Nafsi, those who have transgressed against themselves, they have some degree of wilaya of Allah, that is, they have some closeness to Allah, or some company, or some friendship with Allah Azza wa Jal, if they have the basis of Iman in their heart. But they will start rising up in closeness and wilayah of Allah Azza wa Jal until they get to the level of muqtasids, and then the highest level, which is sabiq bil khayrat, the one who is foremost in doing good. And even the foremost in doing good, they are not at the same level. They vary in their levels of doing good, okay, dependent on the good they do and how much good they do. And we know that, for example, the martyrs are at high levels in Jannah, and then there are people who are at higher, even higher places in Jannah, at places where the martyrs and the prophets are and Siddiqeen, the most truthful, admire them. The hadith says, "Yaghbituhum Siddiqoon wa Shuhada," or كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, which means they admire their high position. And who are they? Those who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are people who are very high in position based on their closeness to Allah. So the positions in the hereafter are proportional to, or function of, now we're talking math, they are function of the love of Allah for these people and their position and acts of obedience in this life.
So Allah said it has to go through a stage, right?
Yeah, obviously, that's what I was trying to explain.
What if a person who is, I mean, going close to Allah but still transgresses in some way or sin, is Allah still loving?
I already answered this. So you have to rewind the tape and listen to it. Yeah, he loves him in accordance, and also the other subject on Sunday has more detail of this. Allah loves him in accordance with his good, and he does not love him or hates him in accordance with his evil. So he has with him, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, he has with him from wilayatullah as much as he does good, and he loses of that with as much as he disobeys Allah. And Bukhari and Muslim mentioned a hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a man as in charge of a sariya. Sariya means like a small group of fighters. What do you call it in the army? Like a squad? Or maybe even smaller than that. He sent probably 15, 20, 30 people.
Squad,
okay. He sent them over a squad to attack somewhere or to explore or something. So over them he appointed a man who would read, who would lead the rest of them in the prayer. And in his prayer he would conclude by reading قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, which means probably after reading Quran, whatever he read after Fatiha, he did something, and then he ends it with قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, Allah summoned to the end of the ayah. So when they came back, they mentioned this to the Prophet ﷺ. So he said, ask him why he did that, and why he does that. They asked him, he said, it is because لِأَنَّهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ, it is because it has the description of Ar-Rahman, of Allah Azza wa Jal. And وَأَنَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَقْرَأَ بِهَا, and I love to read it. I love to read it because it describes Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, Allahu الصَّمَدْ. Samad means he doesn't need anyone, and everyone needs him. He doesn't need any food, anything that the creatures need. And that is the maybe one of the strongest descriptions of Allah Azza wa Jal. As-Samad and Qayyum. That he is in need of nothing or no one, and everyone in the world is dependent on him, is in need of him. So Allah الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَرِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, he was not born nor was he begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, and he does not have anyone, any equal, anyone who is equal to him. So he said it is the description of Ar-Rahman, and I love to read it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَخْبِرُوهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّهُ, tell him that Allah loves him. Tell him that Allah loves him. And also it has been mentioned or something has been mentioned telling that the believers, I don't know why he says this in this weird form, well, this was mentioned the first ayah. He's saying that so far we have been discussing mostly about Allah's love for the people. Now we also mentioned the first ayah that they also love him. Now, so that comes like almost out of context here. But what it says is that وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, the believers or those who believe are stronger in their love of Allah. So this proves that the believers also love Allah, not only Allah loves them, which is something that we have already seen, and the ayah that we saw before. Or قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يَحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, say if you love Allah then follow me, Allah will love you and forgive your sins. So this shows that if you, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you love Allah means that there is a love from the believers to Allah. It should be the believer actually in the hadith that for some reason he didn't bring in this section that of the signs of iman that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that required for iman is أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما, that Allah and His Messenger would be more beloved to the person than anything else. أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. Bukhari and Muslim recorded from Anas radiallahu anhu that a man asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us say, Ya Rasulullah, when will the hour, the last hour be, O Allah's Messenger? He asked him, Ma adatta laha? What did you prepare for it? So you are asking about it. Are you ready for it? Ma adatta laha? He said, As-salamu wa rahmatullah. He said, Ma adattu laha min kathiri salah, wala sawm wala sadaqah. I have really not prepared for it a lot of prayer, nor fasting, nor charity. ولكني أحب الله ورسوله ورسوله. However, I love Allah and His Messenger. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, قال أنت مع من أحببت. You will be with him whom you love. أنت مع من أحببت. So if your love is true, you will be with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this shows that there is a mutual relationship, love relationship between Allah and His believing servants. However, as I mentioned earlier, and he mentions it here, that the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla for His servants or for the creatures is a character of Him, a quality of Him that is unlike the qualities of His of His servants. What's wrong with these kids? Somebody needs to give them some good beating or something. Okay. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says this love is true, as has been mentioned in the book and the sunnah, which means Allah's love for His creatures. And this is also something that all of the salaf of the ummah and the imams and the scholars through the ages of Ahl Sunnah all agree to it and believe in it, that and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beloved for Himself, a true love, that is, He is love, a true love. Rather, it is the most complete form of love, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, which means the believers, those who believe, have stronger love for Allah. What is the beginning of this ayah? Allah. What's the beginning of this ayah? Everybody remembers this from Surah Al-Baqarah. Al-Baqarah 165. It's talking about, so the believers, the ayah is saying that there are people who take friends whom they love them like loving Allah, which means they give them so much devotion and preference and so on, like one would normally be directing this to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And as you know, many people say, somebody says to his beloved one, I adore you, I worship you even, he may say to him. So all these are claims, but وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, but the believers are stronger in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows that the love of the believers is the most complete form of love, and that He also subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the believers a real love. Okay, now we come to loving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we discussed loving Allah, and now loving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you see, we are still laying foundation for our subsequent discussion in this book. So and as we said, that loving someone means that their heart would be inclined by nature or by realization and understanding to that one or that thing that appeals to him or that he likes. Okay, so loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam means that a believer's or a Muslim's heart would be inclined towards the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way or to an extent that would appear in preferring Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over anything else that is beloved to the person, including his father, himself, his father, his child, and all of people of the people. And that is why, because of what Allah Azza wa Jalla has favored him sallallahu alaihi wasallam of great qualities and character. and because of all the goodness that Allah has brought through him to the rest, to all the people, and all the favors that Allah has favored the humanity by sending him with the message. So this requires or should result in loving him sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the aql, by our understanding or mind, and according to the shara, also according to the shara of the deen. Nawawi rahimahullah says in this regard, mahabba is the inclination of the person to that which agrees with the one that you love. He adds, he summarizes and adds to what Qadi Iyad said, that when you love someone, you are inclined, or you are whatever that person likes, you are it becomes agreeable to you. And mentioned some of this, and all of this is present. All these meanings we mentioned about different forms of love, that loving something that is of desire, that fulfills the desire or fulfills the benefit, or that has a virtue in itself. All these are forms of love, and all of this is true in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should love him for his benefit, for his favors on us and all of the human beings, and for the great virtue and character that is present in him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a deed of the heart, and it is among the best of the deeds of the heart, and it is a form of emotion that the person finds in himself as well. And this emotion and this feeling varies in the hearts of people in accordance with the strength of their belief, in proportion with the strength of their belief. The stronger that their belief, the stronger is the emotion and feeling of love towards the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in their hearts. And this love is not a pure mental thing that is separate from the heart inclination, like some people might think. But it is something that is, it's combined. It is between the heart and the mind. It is not like something theoretical. It is something that is comes in the heart, and it also is understood by the mind, and then it is reflected by the action of the person, whether it is an action of the heart or an action of the body. And sometimes in explanation to this, or to make it more plausible, in the hadith, in the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا, that Allah and His Messenger should be more beloved to him than anything else. Or in the hadith, when Umar radiallahu anhu said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are more beloved to me than everything, O Allah's Messenger, except myself. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept this from Umar. And he said, No, Umar, until I am more beloved to you than yourself. So Umar, what did Umar say? First Umar was saying something like, maybe out of assumption that this is normal, natural, that you would love yourself more than anything else. But he did not think deep about it. He just said it. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, explained to him, that this cannot be correct for a true believer, this cannot be correct. So he looked into his heart, thought about it, and he realized that this actually is not the case, that he actually loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more than himself. So he then declared it, that now I know that I love you more than myself. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-ana ya Umar. So what is said here is that a true believer is not a person who only theoretically would say, okay, I supposedly love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anything else, including myself. But in reality, This is not true. In reality, I mean, this is only like a metaphor, a metaphorical thing. In reality, it is not true. I love other things more than I love him. I love myself. I love my wife more than I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the person who says this means what he says, and he is not like Umar, who when he said it, he did not mean it, then that means nothing other than that person's belief is not strong enough. Because when the belief of the person is strong enough to realize the great love that Rasulullah ﷺ deserves from us, and that his favor on us is more than any favor that we ever did to ourselves, and that his virtue is better than any virtue that is present in us, when the person gets to the stage of realizing this, then his love is in his heart is proportional to, or is at equal footing to his love with his love in theory, in his mind or mental love. Okay, otherwise there will be a gap between them. So we know that we are supposed to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anything else, but usually we don't.
So we can say that love is directly proportional to iman. And
yeah, definitely. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a sign of iman. The more that we love him, the more is our iman, and vice versa.
And iman since is directly proportional to knowledge, right?
Iman is proportional to knowledge, not necessarily. Sometimes person has knowledge but doesn't have iman.
But what about the Quran says? I mean, the people of knowledge have more taqwa.
The people of true knowledge. We are talking about the true knowledge. If that's what you mean, it's not merely knowing, but the knowledge that the true knowledge that leads to fearing Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and believing in Him and in His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah. If this is what you mean, then yes.
So can you say that love can control, or it's...
Okay, let's continue because we don't have time for questions. Inshallah, let's go on for a little bit more. There's only like 4 minutes for Iqamah. So some people think that, as we said, that you have to force yourself to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is something that you have to take it like a medicine, like a sour or bitter medicine, but you have to take it and accept it. Then one of the scholars say that if this were true, if the love to Allah and His Messenger was like the love of a sick person for the medicine, a sick person would love the medicine because he knows that it benefits him, but he wouldn't really love it per se, that he really enjoys taking it. If the love of Allah and the Messenger was like loving the medicine by the sick person, then it would have been better that a person would, that the hadith would say three things. Whoever has them in his heart, وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, the hadith says. Whoever has them in his heart, whoever has them satisfied in him, he finds in them the sweetness of iman. He says, in that case, the hadith should have said, instead of the sweetness of iman, it should have said the bitterness of iman. And of course, it did not say that, so this is a misunderstanding of whoever could have said that. But only the one who finds the sweetness of iman in his heart is the one whose desire and whose heart in that love of the Messenger ﷺ support his mind and go along together with it, side by side. So there is no conflict, there is no gap, there is no difference between our realization of the necessity of loving the Messenger ﷺ and our actually loving him by our hearts. Okay, so there's no conflict at all between the two. And whoever explained loving the Allah and his Messenger as being a mental love, then there are also people who think that it means, this love means obeying him, and this is also a wrong misunderstanding, because loving him is the basis for obeying him. So love does not mean obedience, and obedience is the fruit of love, but it is not the love itself. Inshallah, we will stop here, and And basically, actually we are almost done with this chapter. The rest of the discussion is about the relationship between loving Allah and loving His Messenger. So we will discuss it more, or finish discussing it, and then next time we'll talk about the obligation of loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we have started to some degree, that it is obligatory, it's not optional. We are required, every Muslim is required to love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أقول هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.